Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. A half-hour drive southwest of Rome sits an archaeological site called Ostia Antica. It's the ruins of an ancient city from 2 millennia ago. Right in the center of the site is a brick house called Casa di Diana, Diana's house. It's believed to originally have been a 5-story building used for both residential and commercial activities. Now it's a series of half-standing walls, chambers, and pillars. From an archaeological perspective, Casa di Diana is important. It's one of the many treasures left from the Roman Empire, a site that the archaeologists who have been studying would love to share with the world, but in its current form, it's simply too fragile to let anyone but trained professionals visit. Undeterred, the stewards of the site, in conjunction with researchers from the University of Rome, decided to curate a virtual experience, an app that allows a visitor to see the ruins in 3 dimensions. Their overall goal was to create a feeling of a conscious visit, a system that would accommodate the individual interest level of the user. They wanted to allow the most engaged users to find different sets of information embedded in the virtual tour, going deeper and deeper on the subject if they chose. Now let's be clear. Creating a 3D tour of an existing space isn't new. We've all used Google Maps Street View, and you've most likely seen certain spots on Google Maps where you can click to view a 3D experience inside of a famous building or monument. In those experiences, you can use your mouse, finger, or trackpad to spin the camera around and navigate inside of the recreated room. This is all fairly standard. But if you're like me, you've probably noticed some issues with those kinds of experiences. They look weird. When you pan the camera up, you often see a bizarre curved skew to the image, stretching and distorting it. As you walk around within the rooms, the colors often change to reflect the different lighting conditions in each spot. You'll see small artifacts in the images. You'll see graininess, lens flares, gaps where the photos don't overlap properly, or objects that aren't sized properly for the perspective being shown. The researchers thought they could do better. They set out to create a virtual tour of Casa di Diana that is as pixel-perfect as humanly possible. No skews, no distortions, perfect lighting, perfect colors, every object in the image carefully calibrated to be faithful and precise to the original. So how did they do it? First, before anything technical could get done, they went through a creative process to hammer out the storytelling technique of the final product. They developed a storyboard. They annotated the storyboard with narrative comments. They defined additional content that could be unearthed by each visitor. They selected the accompanying material from the archives to include within the application. And they developed a few key animations to aid in storytelling. Next, they had to handle the logistics of getting access to the site and setting up all their equipment. This included defining a security plan for the site, moving hardware, getting access granted to the areas they needed, calibrating their equipment, setting up lights, setting up dozens of photogrammetry markers all around the site, then using an EDM, an electronic distance measurement device, to measure the exact distances between all the markers. Now they had all the exact dimensions of the rooms and a distortion matrix or distance matrix of the spatial relationships between each marker. Now they could begin taking photos. They calibrated their camera and lens, then took 2 sets of photos. One, a set of high-quality shots. These were TIFF files, about 7,000 pixels by 5,000 pixels each, with exact GPS coordinates of the shot embedded in the EXIF data, and the ground sample distance calculated for the shot. These photos were taken with the support of a white balance target, external and natural light, and a lux meter. 2. A secondary shot of documentation photos, frame for frame with the first set, and also via 360-degree cameras. With the photos gathered, they took 6 steps to process them, process the high-quality shots, that is. First, manual review, that was visually checking the photos for any missing elements or any areas that had been occluded. Next was masking. They analyzed each photo programmatically to determine their focus level, colors, and exposure. Then they masked, removed, the sections of the photos that had low quality scores in any of those areas. Then it was ingestion. They loaded the TIFF files into Blender, the 3D rendering software, then wrote a Python script to import the distance matrix data as well. Next was model generation. They generated both sparse clouds and dense clouds within Blender to allow the software to align all of the photos. Then they filtered down to each individual marker and removed areas in the photos where the alignment was even slightly off from the calculations. This effectively created a full 3D model of the environment. The last step was quality control. They process the data using MeshLab to allow them to remove any remaining visual artifacts and check the quality of the model. Their final 3D model consisted of about 160 million polygons. In order for the model to be usable on a smartphone, they reduced that about 90% and then built a fairly standard app around it that would allow a user to explore the 3D model and click on various areas to uncover more information. They called the finished application Vadus, V-A-D-U-S. But before they released the app, they needed to validate the accuracy of the 3D model. This took 7 steps. First was manual re-inspection to look for anything that felt off or was missing. Second, a vectoral analysis using mean absolute percentage error. Third, a quality analysis using perception-based image quality evaluator. Fourth, a faithfulness report using the structural similarity index measure. Fifth, a noise calculation using peak signal-to-noise ratio. And sixth, another similarity error review using mean squared error. Each of these technical metrics was calculated individually for each of the rooms the researchers had reconstructed. Then the values were compared to benchmarks and expected ranges. Much of this analysis was done in MATLAB on 50 randomly selected photos. It turned out that their model consistently produced results within the expected or acceptable range, so it was finally time now to get it in the hands of users. The Vadus application was taken to the Ostia Antica site and shared with stakeholders and tourists alike. The results were positive. So that's the story of how some dedicated archaeologists recreated an ancient ruin as a 3D model. But what can we take away from this? Largely, I think it's the rigor of the procedure and the thoroughness of their analysis that's most important. I'll admit, I started reading this paper skeptically. I thought, it's archaeology, there's not going to be much computer science here. But I'm happy to say I was wrong. From writing the bespoke Python scripts to using Blender and MeshLab to painstakingly evaluating their photos in MATLAB, this was computer science, it was software engineering, full stop. And if you're working with 3D models, game engines, or rendering software, I think there's a lot from this that you can incorporate right into your workflow. If you'd like to see photos of the project or read more details about the process they used or the analysis they conducted, I'd encourage you to download the paper. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.